Yeah, thanks. you know, a few words that came out, and as Cassie and as Fritz was praying, I think that surrender part and really finding God's rulership or God's lordship that brings order. And oftentimes it's different than what we expect. Oftentimes, if you look at Jesus' life, it was extremely ordered by the Father. But he had these interruptions. He had the sense of a forest, you know, now he's going this way and then that way. And we need to find God's leading in our lives continually. And there are times that everything is going to be neatly in a row and there's going to be a rhythm to it. But then there are going to be times that it's not going to look to our experience very orderly. But if God is in control, that's what we're after. And, you know, babies being killed and all of that, it looks like chaos, but in the grand scheme of things, God is in control. And so this morning we're going to look at the promises of God, but with a particular emphasis on patience. And you'll see why this fits in, because oftentimes as God is working about and fulfilling his promise, there's a lot of time that goes by and things feel out of sync, out of control, out of place, out of, you know, God's will even. And for his people, he's looking after patience and he's wanting to work about patience so that the promises can be fulfilled. So hopefully my prayer will work this morning. You know, typical to a message on patience, that is the morning that my patience gets tested from early on. First, the computer thing doesn't want to work, so hopefully it will work now. Then there's a bit of ruffling of feathers in the household and getting things in order. And then one of the boys... we had a light, the switch just wasn't working that well, so I just took off the kind of cup and get it on so that the boys can wake up and so forth, and I said, don't touch it. But I mean, that's child words for touch it until something else happens, you know. So one of the boys has a time out at some stage during the morning, and so I'm thinking he's quiet. Now I hear a crying, but I thought now he's worked himself up, you know, in a tantrum that he's just now crying, seeing if one of the parents will respond. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, he touched it. And he got shocked into... and now it's like getting everyone sorted, putting on... So all the electricians in the house, and I know there are a few that's looking at me, why did you leave the lights on? I'm sorry. But patience was being worked on this morning, at least in my life. So hopefully we'll get through this. If you are visiting us, we have been looking at the promises of God over the last few weeks. And really considering this aspect that God is a God who makes promises, he keeps his promises. There are specific promises that we can hold on to. And in fact, the people of God throughout history, from the beginning, have been people who of promise. God has related with mankind, in a sense, as Ino was speaking now with me. He has related to us through promises. From the time that Adam and Eve sinned even, and God makes a covenant with them and says, one day... your son will crush. I can't remember now the exact words, but you know, there was some specific promises of redemption that will take place and the restoration, and that the devil will be crushed. And so from that point on, over and over, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon, just throughout the apostles, the early church, up until now, God makes promises. He has made certain promises, and we want to emphasize the eternal promises, making sure that our hearts are hooked on, our hearts are anchored to the promises of his presence, that he will not leave us nor forsake us, that he's desiring to be the God of us. You know, in Hebrews, we've read a few portions. So people that were experiencing some trials and tribulations and sufferings. And it says, the writer at one stage says, that God was not ashamed to be called their God. The way that they were enduring, the way that they were walking out, and the way that they were bearing the image, they were shining for something of the nature of God. God said, I'm not ashamed to call them, to be called their God. That's beautiful, eh? And so we want to be a people like that, that walks in this history, in this lineage of faith. This lineage of people who have latched on, who have been gripped by what God has promised and is enduring. And in some way, through that, it's shining forth His image. It is speaking of Him. It is like a light in a very dark world. And we read at some stage during Ephesians, it says there that at some stage we were people without promises, without hope, without God. It was like we were far from God. And we have that on the earth now, people that are far from God. And so the promises of God brings us near. So there are the eternal promises, and then there are some promises that God makes to you individually. And oftentimes that's a little bit more difficult too, because you kind of feel it, or maybe you get a prophecy, a word of encouragement or something like that, and now you walk with it, but it is subjective to some extent. And only when it's fulfilled will you really know that it was a promise to some extent. Hey, there were some things that you need to hold on, and other times we get words, maybe somebody just, you know, wanted to encourage us out of themselves, and they say something, and it's not really from God. And that's why the scripture says, test all things and keep the good. And so the hearing of God often takes time. It's over a process of time that we hear God more clearly. See, after this morning, I said at one stage, don't touch the switch. They did not hear me clearly. After the experience, the shocking experience, they will now hear me more clearly next time. It takes time, but the message comes through. But similar with God, there are certain things that we experience of God, or that we think He says this, and as we continue with Him, it becomes clearer what He said. And God, and that's part of growing up. Patience is important for that. And so we're going to look at patience. So there's a scripture up there. It says Hebrews 6 verse 9. Says, though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things. Things that belong to salvation. Most of us here this morning are born again. And we have what we've called, we've been saved. We've come to know Jesus. And the writer here has written, and he said, he was encouraging the people, and he says, guys, you remember the things, the elementary things of believing in Jesus and having faith, and don't let go of that. Because if you let go of Jesus, we don't know if you've tasted something like that, and you completely let go of that, who knows if you will be able to come back? Who knows if you? And it's in this case that some say, hey, there's maybe a possibility that you can lose your salvation. And so there's this seriousness of walking with Jesus. And he says, guys, we've spoken about this, but when we think of you, we're not that concerned, because we think we want to speak, we feel sure of things of salvation about you. And so we believe that you want to follow Jesus. We believe that you want to endure. You want to walk with God. It says, so for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints, as you still do. Almost like Cassie was encouraging this morning. Hey, God's not, He's not overlooking what is happening. He's not overlooking the faithfulness. He's not overlooking what you have sown. Maybe a side note in there. Not many of you will come into the little storage space there, but Eugene, you must help me now. But Barry, Eugene, and JJ, those are the guys involved in helping with. Was it not maybe not so, not all of you, but just for everyone that is involved with the story space. Thank you so much. It makes our life easier. It's sometimes just a practical serving the saints. Serving the saints, we're able to put up and take care of our equipment. This is not cheap equipment, and to just plonk stuff into a storage, it wear and tear just goes more high in that. So thank you for helping with the racks and the and all of that, Barry guys. We really appreciate that. And so we all get opportunity to serve. We all get we serve one another through voices in messages of encouragement, giving. Allowing people to come into your home and just being a shoulder or being a hand, being there for one another. And here, this writer, he says, God's not overlooking that, as you still do. And he wants to say, continue with that. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so the context of this faithfulness, a context of keep on living for God, keep on serving one another, the context of, hey, God is not overlooking, God is not unaware of your acts of service, acts of faith, is to inherit the promises. And he says, we need to continue. He says, don't become sluggish. There's an opportunity to become lazy. There's an opportunity or a temptation to stop, a temptation to give up, a temptation to say, it doesn't really matter much. Have anybody had that temptation knock on your door? I've had frequently. Because the world, some of those saints that you have served, don't come across as very thankful all the time. That the fruit of the Spirit is still being worked in them, and you are the benefactor or you are the receiver of their God is busy with them. And it's not always that nice. Our children, those around us, it's not always received as well as it's intended. The writer writes here and he says, guys, keep on, because this in the grand scheme, if you continue with this, this is the way we continue so that we can inherit the promise. And he says, we become imitators of those who through faith and patience, the twins. We oftentimes speak about faith, eh? We had lots of talk about faith, incorruptible faith and all of that. And then the twin is, this is like, it feels to me like faith is the extrovert and patience is the introvert in the twins. The patience is the silent one that continues. You don't always know he's there, but when he's not there, you know he's not there. And your household and your friends. Everyone knows patience is not there. But when he's there, we just go on. Hey? The silent twin. But we need, those are the two elements, the twins, the two ones that we need to, almost like in Proverbs, right to rights, I don't know what he said, it was kindness or gentleness, or so, but he says, bind it around your neck. I want to say kind of faith and patience need to be bound around our neck as we want to inherit the promises of God, as we want to remain until the end. We were singing about overcoming. The saints at the end, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Overcoming means that there's a lot of overs that need to take place. Okay, almost like these little games that you game over and you just want to go to the next level. So you start over again and over until you get it. Christianity for me is a lot of starting over. A lot of trying again. Daily. But don't become sluggish. Be imitators. Imitators, it's like, you see there, it's like three generations. You know, grandfather, dad, and son, and they're walking like this. It's so cute. I was looking for the picture, but I've got one of my, the day my brother got married, and Evan was still small, and he loved his Uncle Werner, you know. And at some stage, my brother is standing, suit and everything, standing like this way. And you've got the picture of little Evan standing just like that, standing, but his legs need to go high on the, but he's standing like Uncle Werner. He's imitating, he's trying to be like. And there's this thing of how we have been created, that we imitate. Naturally, we become like what we see. We see it in our children. We see it in the world. Naturally, we become. And that's why, you know, as the things that we behold, we become like that. And part of the gospel is that our eyes are opened that we might behold the Lord of heaven, that we might behold God. And it's different just from physical eyes. Maybe some of you have seen Him physically, but there's a beholding of our heart. We are looking at God. We are watching. That's why we say, I once was blind, but now I see. It's not only that you see your sin and your depravity, although that is part of it, and we have to see that. But we see it in light of the one that we see, the Holy One, the Great One. And so there's an openness that takes place, and now we perceive and we grow. We start to see better as we start to hear better over time. We need to be imitators. Become like those that the Bible writes about, who have obtained the promises, who have stayed the course. How do we define patience then? You know, most of the times when we define things, we look at the meaning of the word in the dictionary. We look at the context of its use. You know, with our language, we've got different words that can be used in a different context, and then it means different things. You know, the Afrikaans, dis mooi, jy lyk mooi, mooi man, you weet, lekker. The word lekker, I mean, you can use lekker in so many different contexts. And depending on the context, the definition will differ. The people who were patient, we look at people that exemplify that personify this attribute. And so when we want to consider patience and understand what patience means in the Bible, we need to go and look, okay, first of all, what's the Hebrew meaning or the Greek meaning? And then we look at the context where it was used. The people that God referred to as patient, what did they do? What did they not do? How long did they do it or not do it? What is the context? And then the people and the situations in which it was used. Now that I want to encourage you to go for self-study. Go search the scriptures, as the Bible says. Search it. When you look at people, when you're reading about Joseph, ask yourself, okay, oh, God spoke here, He had some promises. How long did it take for that promise? Try and count the years. What was the context? What's the things that he had to endure and that he had to go through? Did he give up? Did he not? And how did he respond? And so we start seeing certain examples in the Bible of patient people. And what I appreciate about the Bible, it doesn't hide the sins from those people. I read and I see Abram. Yes, see, that Abram. He lied. he tried to find his way. Then he got impatient. And so he went about and he got Ishmael. And the Bible doesn't shy away from that human factor, some of the sins, but it shows forth in the context of God's promise, God's faithfulness. And see how in the midst of us growing up, of us learning to walk by faith, growing in faith, God is faithful. 2 Peter. Now, I want to remind you, Peter, if he had to choose, it would be the faith. He would go for the faith twin. You know, if the twins were girls, he would go for the faith twin. All right, walk on water quickly. If it's you, Lord, tell me to come now. Walk on water. And then think. If it's you. So he would not fall into the category of patience. It seems like his personality is talk first, think later. Do first, think later. And he's just fast out of the blocks. But yeah, he's writing. He's had suffering. He's had persecution. He's been beaten for his faith. He's been jailed for his faith. He's experienced a few things. He's learned that it doesn't work like that. We've got a friend, Isaac Conaway. Some of you would remember him. Yes, what a faithful guy. And he knows he wouldn't mind telling, but he wasn't the sharpest knife in the school. He would say that for himself. You know, academically, he wasn't doing that well. But he latched on that God said he was going to go into ministry and he would study. So he came to TMT and he started. He didn't have, his household wasn't able to fund all of his studies. So at some stage he thought, you know, God's going to provide. He thought, you know, just the envelope under the door. And although that happens, he says, then I realized it doesn't work like that. He had to go back to Bloemfontein, work a year, save up money, come back, fill his studies. He's now master's level, he's looking at his PhD, he is teaching Greek. He's looking into Hebrew. He is probably one of the T students that have studied the furthest in his studies and definitely the sharpest knife in the drawer. I thought, ah. And it was through faithfulness, patiently continuing. Now, Peter, I think he wouldn't necessarily have finished his studies. But he's over the years, and he's speaking to the believers. And again, he's encouraging them, and he's saying, guys, you've heard people say that, hey, why is God taking so long? God's not faithful to his promises. And the believers were actually being persecuted, and part of the persecution was, your God is not faithful, your God is not true, your God is not able. And so God's slowness was ammo for the unbelievers that God is not real. He is not true. And Peter writes, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Peter writes and says, guys, you've got it mixed up. It's the other way around. The fact that God is slow means that he's still giving you a chance. It is his mercy. It is not his unfaithfulness. It is not his forgetfulness. It is his mercy that he's extending time. And he wants you, he wants those around us, he wants our colleagues, our family members, that they would be born again. He's not slow. Don't overlook this one fact, that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. It can be so quick. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Again, can you see that he wants the eternal promise of God's return, of Jesus' return, to inform our lives? Understand what that means? Oftentimes, there's circumstances, and I mean, we've been faced with it with a greater degree with the COVID stuff and how the economy is responding to it and people, all that. And that oftentimes is informing our actions, our lives. And he says, no, guys, the promise of Jesus' return and his delay in it in this sense, in our experience of it, should inform the fact that we should live holy and godly. Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Maybe in some of your communities you were discussing the promises of God and looking what are the promises, and oftentimes we are lured, we are tempted with just having promises on earth now. You know, it must be, God promised me that I'm going to have maybe a child or a husband, a wife, a car, or this, that. And we have some of those things that we aspire to. And maybe you've received the word that God gives you that. But it should always be seen in context of the primary promises of God, of the solid promises of God. Because all these earthly things can be taken away in an instant. All these earthly things can be lost. Reading just through Job a bit in this week again, and just looking at him, and I mean, he's this epitome of somebody that's lost everything. And you see that he had friends that tried to encourage him, tried to say, hey, maybe you've got some sin in your life, maybe you've got this, maybe, and just doing everything that we would have done. And then God speaks, and in two or so translations it says, get dressed for action. And then God starts asking questions. Were you at the beginning when everything was chaos and I brought order? Were you when I spoke to the sea? Were you? And it's like God is interior, but you know, this is that moment where he's going to the room, sitting on the bed, and maybe that's how we do it, and listening to Dad. Dad is asking now a bunch of questions, and you've got to answer. Were you there? Do you understand? And he's like, you don't go there in your slothish and say, you get dressed and you sit and you say, ja, meneer. Ja, papa. Nee, papa. Jammer, papa. Okay, papa. Nie weer nie, papa. Ek is lief vir jou besin. Ja, papa. But we see that God is serious about his promises, and sometimes we get caught in the temporary things, and we throw tantrums, and we do these things, and God, are you really faithful? Why are you so slow, Lord? And why this? And then God is saying, hey, get an eternal perspective. Know what this is all about. Just because you're not seeing it doesn't mean it's not real. Just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean it's not there. There is these promises, and you should not become sluggish. Imitate those that have gone before you. For the early church, they were speaking, and one of their primary topics was patience. They said, our God is a patient God. Our faith is a patient faith. Just step back and look at the scriptures. It is patient. It needs patience. They emphasize patience. If you go look at early church manuscripts, and we want to be a church like the early church, né? Like the Acts church. But the fact is that we oftentimes just look at Acts. And Acts was still the faith part, if I can call it that. It just happened. That's where Peter, shadow and healing, it's just action. Now, year 100, year 200, year 300, serious persecution. What did they write on? And it's surprising, as I've done some research, surprising that they did not write on all the different, evangelism angles. They did not write on, this coffee machine or that, thing. And I'm not saying these things are bad. They failed to write on patience. Some of the first three treatises, as they call it, the first big manuscripts, things that they wrote for the church, early church fathers, patience. And for the early church fathers, patience was needed because that would help the people endure the persecution. It would help them stay the course. It would have strengthened them. So Liam was speaking about the substance. These guys don't have any substance. Patience was needed to show the substance of the early church. One of his writings, Tertullian, an early church father, says, God's mission is unhurried and unstoppable. Unstoppable. I oftentimes think of lava. If you've seen those movies or those discovery things of lava, it just keeps on moving and it just burns up everything Now, at some stage, it stops, and maybe that part of the example is not that helpful. But it's like it just continues, and you can't stop it. It goes, it goes. God's kingdom is like that. It just continues. It's like yeast. One guy I was reading about, he wrote a book, The Ferment of the Early Church, I think. But he speaks about how the patience of the early church was one of their biggest evangelism tools. The fact that they were enduring the persecution and the suffering was such a witness to the unbelievers and those that were persecuting them. Patience is the nature of God. It is rightly been said that the fall of Adam and Eve was marked by human impatience. It was the original sin in the eyes of the Lord. You know, we're speaking about sometimes we want to bring orders to bring control and to take things in our own hands. Isn't that what happened to Adam and Eve? No, you will be like God. Yes, see, but it's taking a little bit long. And this fruit is good to the eye. Seems like this will taste nice. This will make me wise. Let's do it. Put your hand on it in own strength, own capacity. They fall. I think it's interesting that Ecclesiastes says, better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit better than the proud in spirit. Not the humble in spirit, the patient in spirit. Why? Because patience is humble. If you think of a patient person, they're quite humble. Patience is humility on an ongoing process. When that Hebrew word there, the patient in spirit, it's a long-minded, long-spirited. It's got this picture of something that's long. It's enduring. It takes time. It's over time. It shows itself. We need patience. Romans 5 verse 3, it says, not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation works patience. Guys, if you go look in the scripture, you see that patience, there's no shortcut to patience. Man, I like a shortcut. I like doing, you know, I and some others like shortcuts even more in my family. And, you know. But we like to see things happen quicker and faster and the easy way. There is no easy way to patience. And many of us have learned it. That's why we don't pray for patience. But without patience, we will not get to the end. We need to pray for it. Like that one mother said, Here, gee vir my geduld, want as jy vir my nou krag gee, sal ek hulle dood. She must have had boys, I think. We need patience. Sorry, I want to just go back. Patience is not accepting everything without expectation. And I think here we need to make sure is that oftentimes we think certain personality, and there are personality types that might be, patience is easier for them. But it doesn't mean that the fact that you are quiet and not doing anything that you are patient. All right? Patience is not accepting everything without expectation. Patience is not compromise because you don't want to confront. You know, we're going to just be patient in this relationship. I don't want to confront. Patience is not passive. It's not lazy. Patience is not irresponsible or abdication of responsibility. And so oftentimes we cover some of these negative traits in the word patience because then it sounds better and then we justify it. And it's not that. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It's produced by the Spirit. Patience is active dependence on God. Active. It's responsible for what God has given you. It's being that's being patient. It's being doing what God has given you to do. It's acknowledging that God is and will be faithful to His promises. Patience is harder than what we care to think. Is waiting easier than quickly just doing it? What? Which one is easier? Quickly just, you know, I know God said I shouldn't. Yeah, I've had a number of conversations where the person is, they are acknowledging, I know God said I should wait, but I just don't have the faith for it. Then it's like, okay, then patience is an act of faith. Patience is formed over time. There are no shortcuts. And so generally, patience gets formed through waiting. Now again, when you define waiting, don't think do nothing. But it is when God has said something. For instance, now God has said the end will come. Or God has said He will give us His presence. And now, or God has maybe given you some specific direction about how to do a business. Or it is, patience is being and walking with God and not getting caught up in all the quick fixes and getting caught up in all the things that you can do, and God has not told you to do that. Patience is walking with God in relationship with God and being the best you can be until God adds the other person to you. If you're waiting for a spouse. Patience is asking the Lord, Lord, how do you want to, we're struggling with having a child or so, we don't know when. It's like patience is walking with God, trying to walk with Him as best as you can and not just doing your own thing. And not just saying, God, I don't think You're in this, I'm going to do it my way and then I'll come back to You. And I know these things that I'm touching on, it is sensitive, it is difficult, it's complicated. You don't always have the exact like, okay, this is exactly what God said. Sometimes you walk like this and you're not sure it. But patience, is that me that's doing that? Good. Oh, okay. Get distracted there. But patience is that very thing. It's, Lord, I trust You. I'm not going to do it my way, but Your way. Nearing the end in Revelation, it's our last book in the Bible, John writes, and listen to how interestingly he puts this. He says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And John was, you know, kind of in exile there. But he says, I'm a companion, I'm a partaker in some translations of the patience of Jesus Christ. You're not the only one waiting for the wedding feast. Jesus is too. And when in Acts 1, the disciples ask Him, so is this the moment that the kingdom of God is coming about? This is that only my Father knows. We wait. And then He says, go wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And they had to wait 10 days in a house. They didn't know they had to wait 10 days. They just knew they had to wait. Patience opens the door for the Holy Spirit to work. And I'm a fellow, I don't even know if I always am a partaker, I'm a fellow failure at times. But we get up again. Says, Lord, there's patience in our relationships, spouses, our children, ourselves. You know, if we look from God's point of view, this guy just said, be happy. If we look from God's point of view, how patient should we be? Or can we hold a little bit longer? In Revelation 3, verse 10, and I don't have that scripture on here, but John writes to, and it's Jesus speaking to the churches and to Philadelphia. He writes and he says, because you have kept my word of patience. Or some translations, about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. And there was a word of patience. It was speaking about the gospel is also a word of patience. The gospel speaks of Jesus coming again. It was a message of patience. Stay the course. Wait. Your time on earth is as a sojourner, it is extremely active. There are good works for you to do. And one of those works is a work of patience. It's a work where you are busy with and following God, but knowing that someone is coming back. Jesus is coming back and you are waiting. And so there's an element of waiting, an element of expectation, an element of He is coming back. And you are going to be faced with a sense of come. See, and when we go to the shops, one of the things that happen oftentimes is that what I hear is, I hear high heels, and I hear, come. So that's between me and Ina. She might not run fast with normal tackies, but on high heels. High heels in a special. And that's the fastest. Come. So if I work on our relationship, we go to shop together, I just need to make sure that I have everyone. Yeah. But there is sometimes that thing of, and it even says that the Spirit and Bride says, come Lord Jesus, come. And there's a longing and love. It's so interesting that in one translation, the writer writes in Revelation 10, 3 verse 10, he says, you were passionately patient. So how beautifully stated there. Passionately patient. In other words, we're giving ourselves, but we know this is not where we'll end. Patience is a virtue. Patience is something that we give ourselves and God is working and He's looking back. It is the twin of faith. Through faith and patience, we will inherit the promises. And I know that sometimes as we speak about Jesus coming again and the presence of God, sometimes these are quite abstract and it's almost easy because we can't touch and feel it. But that informs our life now. And so the question is, in your relationships that you have right now, is there an impatience that is experienced? Like I said, it's oftentimes difficult to know when you are patient, but you know when you are not patient. You know when there's patience is not in the room. Maybe we can just give a moment. Where's the Lord highlighter for you where you need to grow in patience? Where you need patience? What is the expectation in your heart that is causing you to say, come here. That you think it ought to happen in this way. When everyone else says it ought to happen in this way. And as you think of that, I want you to think of the captain of our salvation. Our chief shepherd, the one that we need to become like. And He is on the cross. And they are saying, you can command angels to get you down. Bring yourself down. If you say you are the Lord, you are the King, get yourself down. And they're laughing. They're shaking their head. Probably if you're a disciple, you think you'd become a little bit shy. Almost like, you know, a friend or a family member that does something silly in public and you're like, I don't really want to be associated with him or her right now. I can imagine it sounds like, oh yeah, I believed in him. I ate of his food that he gave and now. Yeah, maybe it is not all true. And Jesus is confronted with being impatient. Jesus is tempted with my will. I can do this. I know this. I know. And holding back in faith. Not counting godliness something to be grabbed to. not counting his identity really something to say, I am actually God. Holding back in that sense and saying, not my will be done, but yours. I can only speculate because I'm thinking from my point of view, but I think not my will be done, but yours was not just prayed in the garden. It feels to me like Jesus almost whispered that the whole time and thought of that. Not my, the amount of restraint that had to come. And there's a scripture that says that when there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Jesus' vision was the joy of the Father, was many, you and me being born again, you and me coming in time. Jesus' vision was a family of faithful ones, patient ones. And for that, he kept himself. For that, he held. For that, he was patient. He endured. He was long-minded, long-spirited. He had that in view. And so when Jesus gives us the communion, we're going to end with that now. So I want you to consider and look at that. And this is the patient meal, if I can call it that. The meal that that signifies not just your forgiveness in a moment, not just your rebirth in a moment. It signifies eternal rebirth, eternal salvation. It signifies waiting. It signifies not your strength, but God's strength. Not your ability, but God's ability. Not your will, but God's will. It signifies patience. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Until. And so when we take that, it says, Lord, another day we wait. Not sluggishly, not lazy, not, you know, doing our own thing. No, we wait with restraint. We wait patiently with expectation. Our hearts is anchored there, and we are waiting for that day of reconciliation where it fully is reconciled, where we will be like him. He will be with us. People of promise. It's patience. And your and my patience today becomes a witness to that. For the early church, the persecutors and those who inflicted lots of pain, they were astounded by the patience. The patience, the people of God enduring and saying, we wait for God to save us. We won't retaliate on our own strength. That caused them to be born again. It was so different. It was so like Jesus. It was so otherworldly. They had a communion. Early church in North Africa said, we cannot go without the Lord's Supper in light of declaring the patience of God. So if I can maybe have musicians or maybe just a guitar. And let's just for a moment pause here. You've thought of maybe an area where you're impatient. And let's just consider Jesus' strength here, his ability.